Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you today to My Journey of Faith. We have a wonderful show planned out today, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time prepping and getting it ready because there's so much to talk about. We're talking about friendships, friendship with women, and sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's, oh, I don't want to go there. But that's what we're talking about today because God tells us that friendships are very important in our lives, and He shows that in His Word. How friendships are important and how we can build on them and then how we can help each other on this journey around this big blue ball. Today I have with me Wendy Foreman and Rachel Pifferi. They are best friends, sisters in Christ, co-founders of Believe Ministries, a women's ministry focused on encouraging and equipping Christian women to live their lives radically sold out to Christ. Wendy is a pastor's wife and has spent over 20 years in ministry alongside her husband. Rachel has a PhD in psychology and spent several years as a college professor at the University of Tennessee and Johns Hopkins University before the Lord called her into full-time women's ministry. Both Wendy and Rachel live in Sedley, Virginia with their families, where they teach a weekly Bible study and lead women's ministry in Sedley Baptist Church. They are the founders of B Gathering, a quarterly community women's gathering created to gather Christian women from all over their community to get to know one another better and to worship and study God's Word together. In addition to teaching Bible studies, speaking at the B Gathering events, and speaking at church and conference retreats, they enjoy encouraging women through their website devotionals at afterthemiracle.com. Hi, Wendy. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Cynthia. Hi.
I'm so excited to have you both on today. Well, let's just kind of jump in here. How did you get interested in studying and talking about women's friendships?
Well, Cynthia, this is Rachel. It's when I look at my history in academics, my background is psychology, as you said, and I started my research many years ago in social relationships and how people relate to one another and how people can support each other and really the impact that has on health. And then when I left academics and went into ministry and started actually interacting with people and just listening to stories, I began to realize that while we had studied this for years and years and years from an academic perspective, I didn't know that we had really got the heart of it, if you will, because as we really started talking to women and understanding how they relate to one another, there was so much we realized about how women experience friendships and how they have just experienced great joy but also great heartache, and almost every woman we talk to has wonderful stories of friendship and things they've learned, but there's always a heartache and there's always something that they've learned in bad experiences. So I guess I would say that we have both formally and informally studied this for years, and then just having this rich friendship dropped into my life 6 years ago with Wendy, that just brought a personal element to it too that has just brought this to such a vivid importance in my own life and in the lives of the women around us.
And Cynthia, like you said at the very beginning, I'm a pastor's wife, and having friendships in ministry is very tricky. And I'll talk a little bit about that if we get time later. But there's a verse in 1 Samuel 18 that describes Rachel and I's friendship beautifully. So 1 Samuel 18, it's verses 1 through 3, and it says this: "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself." You know, and about 6 years ago, like Rachel said, our hearts became knitted together in a friendship that I don't think either of us even began to dream that we could have. And it really is a friendship that dropped into both of our laps, and it's a friendship that we know that, that God ordained. And I think out of that friendship, so many people could see that it was different. And as we talked to women, we began to get these questions of, well, how do you get a friendship like that? Or, you know, what do I have to do to ensure that I can have a best friend like that? And so a lot of this studying and talking about women's friendship really just came out of, I think, people recognizing the friendship that Rachel and I have.
That's very neat. That's very interesting. You know, the questions that you said that people watched your relationship and asked, you know, of you, I'm sure that something that you're finding that more and more women are wanting those friendships.
Yes.
But they really don't know how to go about getting them or what even to look for.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just kind of start kind of at the basics. What are good characteristics of a friendship, you know, of a friend? You know, it may be what we need to apply to our lives or maybe what we're looking for. What are some things that you've studied and you've come up with?
Well, it's fun to study something like this because it's so personally relevant. And Wendy and I have done a lot of talking and studying about our own friendship. And one thing we should probably share at the beginning of this, and we'll share stories throughout our time today, but Wendy and I are as different as night and day, like personalities, everything. Like it's you know it's from God because we are just different. And it's fun and it's rich and it's really, it embodies the iron sharpens iron. Iron verse because it is how I can see things from a different perspective. It is how I can grow in those areas that I'm deficient in. And as we've kind of thought about, okay, what does make a good friendship or what makes a characteristics of a good friend, we've gone to scripture, we've also done some research, and then we've just kind of done some soul searching. And as we've kind of thought about it, really goes back, and these characteristics can apply to any relationship in life. We're talking about friendship today, but as we look at this, we really think, you know, there's some clear things in Scripture that the Lord says, you know, if you do these things, you're going to be a God-honoring person. You're going to be a God-honoring wife. You're going to be a God-honoring friend. So we'll share some of our personal observations in a second, but we'll kind of start with a survey we did a few years ago. We interviewed folks or surveyed them on our website, and we just threw out a couple of questions because we kept hearing over and over again how much women crave good friendships. So we wanted to know, okay, what are people's experiences with friendship? What are they looking for? And one of the questions was exactly that, like what are you desiring in a good friend? Because believe it or not, I would say more people don't have that good David-Jonathan friendship than do. And so you would ask, so when we asked them, what are you looking for? Like, what would you like? Heard a lot of stories, quick stories, but some would break your heart of the things they'd been through. And the first thing that came up, and about 100 women answered this round of surveys that we had done, and the number one thing that came up as they were telling us what they were looking for in a good friend was that they be trustworthy. And that they keep confidences. And some would share stories of things that they were vulnerable and they were real, and then somebody would betray that. And they just didn't feel like somebody could be trusted. So 22 of our 100 women said number one thing they're looking for is that this person be trustworthy.
And Cynthia, there are many scriptures. You know, one of the things that Rachel and I do is we'll go in, you know, and Google trustworthy, like scriptures on trustworthy or something like that. And there are quite a few scriptures out there that really talk about the importance of being trustworthy and keeping confidences and keeping secrets. And we as women, we want to know that we have somebody like that, somebody that we can go to and bear our soul to and know that that's where it's going to stay. But 1 Timothy 3:11 says this, in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers or gossips, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. And this is a beautiful verse that talks about trustworthy, but it also addresses just the idea of how we just need to be godly women in our conduct, you know, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we interact with others. We should be respected, and we should not gossip about one another, but rather encourage one another and keep hold one another accountable in our walks with the Lord and in our walks with one another.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is so true, because the trustworthy part, that's even been real in my life. So I think even more than, you know, if you expanded it, if people really, really got down to it, that trustworthy part would be marked a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the older we get, the more we don't want to be as vulnerable, because maybe somebody has violated a trust mm-hmm. in the past. So I think mm-hmm. it even becomes so important as we age, that if someone shares something that's vulnerable, that need not go any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we look at like the stages of a relationship forming, the very beginning of a formation of a relationship, people will throw things out there kind of to test the water, if you will. And as we study it even academically, you see it's kind of that initial phase where you don't quite know somebody yet, but you share some things. And that stage, it's so critical. I mean, you want to be trustworthy throughout, but as you're forming that, you're really saying, okay, is this person somebody that can be trusted? And while mm-hmm. we're talking about what we want in someone else, we really are talking about what we need to be. Because when we are these things, then we are going to find those women in return.
Absolutely. That's a good point.
In addition to trustworthy, the second thing that came up when we surveyed women was being honest. And kind of part of the honesty came this theme of godly accountability. So women are desiring somebody who will be truthful in love, not blunt or crass, but really honest, loving, and to hold them to a standard of accountability. And that, I think the formation of that is really, or the foundation of that is really, you know, I love you so much that I want you to be everything that God has for you. And I want to encourage you in that. And I'm going to, under the full inspiration of the Holy Spirit, point things out that the Lord maybe wants pointed out, but I'm going to do it in love. So right behind trustworthy was this concept of being honest.
I think that is very important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have to be very much led by the Spirit in that one, because there are things that the Lord may be asking you to share because somebody needs to hear it at that moment. So that's one that I've seen play out a number of times.
And then right behind that was be a good listener. And there's a beautiful verse that goes along with this, and it has become one that Rachel and I love, and it's James 1:19, and it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Mm. I'm a talker, so for me to be a listener sometimes has to be very intentional. So, yeah, Rachel's a good – thank goodness she's a good listener, because I'm a talker. But this is a verse the Lord has said to me often and reminds me that I really need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. But we really are, as women, all looking for somebody to just be there to really listen to our heart's cry and in with what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
I love
that's,
that you brought that up, because there's some of us, like you said, you're the talker and she's a good listener, but there's times when that role needs to be reversed. Even if you are
absolutely.
The talker, sometimes you have to be the listener.
Yep,
or,
absolutely.
Or it feels like it's heavy on one side and unfair.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, and also when you have difference in personality or perspective, if you don't listen, then you're going to assume that they're seeing it the way you're seeing it
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you're seeing it that way. And so so I think that Wendy and I have certainly learned in our years as friends, I've got to listen because I may be seeing this differently and my perspective may not be right. And I need to understand this from her perspective. I'm so convinced that we would do ourselves, and this is why there's so much scripture on it, we do ourselves so much good in all of our relationships to listen and understand it and listen to the Lord too before we take any action or speak on anything so that we don't misrepresent what the other person might be thinking or feeling. The next kind of characteristic that came up in our survey was loyalty, that women are just craving somebody to be loyal. And I think that goes along with the trustworthiness a little bit. We did a Bible study of Ruth a while back, and I think Ruth is just a beautiful picture of loyalty, and of course the beginning when Orpah goes back and Naomi is kind of telling Ruth, you know what, you don't need to stay with me, and we have the famous line in that first chapter where Ruth says, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And many of us know the story of Ruth and just that loyalty that she showed, that, you know what, I'm going with you. And how many of us don't love that, when we're going with somebody, we're going through something, and somebody says, you know what, I'm going through this with you. I'm walking with you. Don't urge me to turn back. Sure, that maybe this is going to be an inconvenience for me right now, but I love you, and that's why we're going there together. And that loyalty speaks to kind of a larger concept that we see throughout the book of Ruth, and it's this beautiful Hebrew concept called hesed, and it is best translated into the English word like loving kindness or sometimes just kindness, but many scholars talk about how that concept of hesed doesn't translate well into the English because it's bigger than that, and it is this commitment, it's this faithfulness, it's this loyalty, it's love and kindness and mercy and compassion, and it's all of this wrapped up into one package that we see in Ruth, and we see in the Lord, and we see in throughout kind of the story of Ruth. So I often think when women are talking about this loyalty, they're talking about that hesed comment or construct, and they're talking about honestly how the Lord is loyal to us and how he walks with us and shows us great mercy and compassion.
Wow. So was there any other characteristics that just jumped out and that just really kind of...
There's a few more. We don't want to take up all our time talking about the different things, but there were a couple, and I'll say this briefly, but obviously a relationship with God is real important. And I have a daughter that's in her, she just finished her second year of college. And yes, I am old enough to have a daughter in college. I have to remind myself of that often.
Me too.
But more than one occasion, I've had conversations with her just about the importance of all of our friendships being God-honoring. And, you know, when we enter friendships with others whose morals and values are different, we really set ourselves up to be tempted to do and engage in things that go against our beliefs. And I think it's just really important that we engage in relationships with people, like Rachel and I like to say, that push us to run hard after Jesus, you know, and who hold us accountable and pray for us and point us to Jesus time and time again. And I know as a mom of almost 20 and an almost 13-year-old, it's something that I pray daily for my kids, is that one of their priorities in their relationships will be that they have friends who have the same morals and values and who worship the same God that they worship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. And then probably the last one that we'll talk about is unconditional love. And this is something that we all desire in our friendships and in our relationships.
Mm-hmm. That is very true.
Well, and it kind of fits a little bit with that hesed concept as well, is this kind of steadfast, unconditional love that wants more for you. And it's interesting because when we think about that with the relationship with Jesus, I can't do any of this well in my natural self. I can't love the way I'm supposed to love. I can't forgive. I cannot be a good listener and put my needs aside. I can't do that. I mean, I might be able to fake it a little bit in my natural self, but it's only because of my dependence on the Lord and my relationship with him that I'm able to show the kind of love that I really think he's calling us to show in our friendships and our marriages and in our other relationships. Recently, my dad actually sent me something that he had gotten from one of the youth at his church, and that their youth leader had taken 1 Corinthians 13 and the portion on what love is, and had recommended putting somebody's name in it when they're dating someone to see if they match up to these qualities. So I was kind of thinking about that concept even with friendships and how, or even putting our own name in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read what it is. So where it says love, imagine putting your name in there or putting a friend's name in there. And basically these are the characteristics that we should be striving for if we're going to exhibit the type of love that God is and God asks us to do. And many of us know this, but 1 Corinthians 13, this is 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I feel like when you look at that portion of Scripture and you think about it in friendship or you think about it in dating or marriage, and you think about the other characteristics that women have said they're looking for, they're looking for godly love. They're looking for an earthly representation of God's love, a hesed, a long-standing, fiercely loyal, just commitment to endure all things.
I love that. I think that is awesome. I think that's great for us to share with our kids and even ourselves. So let me ask you, let's just kind of switch just real quickly because time's going away. What do you think keeps women from having good, deep friendships with other women?
Well, I'll tell you. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, we have social media out there, but we don't go deep with that.
Yes.
So what do you think is keeping it?
Well, I tell you, the number one response that we got was time and being too busy. And I think that obviously friendships are something that we all desire, but when we get them, they seem to be so hard to maintain. And I think, you know, I think about being a teenager and even being in college, and we have lots of time for friendships. We have lots of time to go to the mall and movies and grab a burger together or whatever. But, you know, when we graduate college and we, you know, get jobs and get married and have kids, friendships become so much more challenging to find the time to really put into them. And I think that if there's anything that I've learned as an adult, it's that you have got to make time for those friendships. And, you know, we discover that our time gets very stretched between our husbands and our kids and clubs, organizations, church, all of those, all good things. But, you know, as women, like we've been talking about, we all crave and desire friendships. And so in my own life, it's, you know, putting the kids to bed and making a phone call to my best friend or doing the dishes and meeting at Starbucks over, you know, a cup of coffee and catching up or something like that. And I think the biggest thing is that we really have to be more intentional in our friendships and just setting aside that time to let them know that you value them and you will make time in your schedule. But I think that's probably our biggest challenge,
mm-hmm.
is time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's trying to navigate it in such a way that we have the time for our friendships.
Mm-hmm.
But they look different as we grow up.
Yeah.
I would love to, you know, have sleepovers and eat chocolate and watch chick flicks, but, you know,
exactly.
Which we've done occasionally.
Yeah.
We've been known to.
We also been talking about the trustworthy concept a little bit, and another thing that women shared, and this is kind of the heartbreaking part of the survey, a big thing that interferes with their friendships was things like jealousy and envy and gossiping and cattiness and competitiveness with each other and constantly comparing ourselves to other women and women saying, you know, you just can't trust other women. And it just, and we read things that just broke our heart because it's like, wow, mm-hmm. What have you walked through with other women that has left you feeling like there's nobody out there that you can possibly trust? And which kind of leads us to kind of some of the exploration we've done as we've explored even our own history with friendships is I think as we get older, we tend to have a lot more baggage relationally. And it's very tempting to look at the past and say, well, I had this friend 15 years ago and this is what they did, and you just can't trust other women. You just can't trust them. And we hear that, you know what, I tried this friendship thing. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So when we think about the baggage, it's so important to focus on what the Lord might be doing in this season or in this relationship and try not to get stuck on the experiences you may have had in the past with the cattiness, the gossip, the constant comparison, any of that.
I agree. Well, Rachel and Wendy, we only have 5 minutes left. I told you it would blow through. I know.
Ooh.
So what I want you to do is I want to give you just a few minutes. You know, for what would you say to someone who's been hurt or betrayed or has been in an unhealthy friendship before, you know, frankly, just doesn't want to pursue those friendships anymore? What you got to say to them?
Okay. So this particular question, I've been in this situation. I started out by telling you about being a pastor's wife and how friendships are really tricky for me. And so I, through the years of being a pastor's wife, I've encountered many different types of people, and I've had some great friendships, and I've been deeply hurt and betrayed. And over time, you just tend to put walls up. And I think this is what we do as women. We tend to put these walls up, and then we don't allow anybody inside those walls. And so this is where I want to tell you a little bit about Rachel and I's story, and then just say to you that God brings people into your life at just the right time. A little bit of my story, and I know I have like 3 minutes, so I'm going to be quick. It all started outside of a choir room at our previous church. My husband and I were going through something pretty big in our life at the time, and like I said, I have put up walls, and I had let nobody really into my life, and I knew Rachel a little bit, but like we said earlier, different is night and day. So I never in a million years would have picked Rachel for my friend only because, you know, we're just different personality-wise, the careers that we were kind of in, our kids are different ages, all of that. But my husband said to me, you need to talk to her. So she was in the choir room, and I went in, and I said, I need to talk to you. And she came out, and I poured my heart out to her about what we were going through. And let me tell you that God sometimes puts the most unlikely people in your path. And I would say to somebody who has been hurt and betrayed and been in unhealthy friendships, God knows what you need. And sometimes in the midst of just some terrible circumstances, he brings somebody into your life you would have never expected. And I think he sees our hurt and our pain, and he knows just the right person to put in our life. So I say just pray and ask the Lord and listen to his leading because, like I said, most unlikely person in the most unlikely place. So I think it's trusting that God is going to bring that person into your life. When you need them.
Great. Rachel, what about you? 2 minutes.
You know, I have a verse in Isaiah 43 that I want to share, and it will probably be familiar because it's easy, I think, to get stuck in what happened in the past, and like Wendy has already said, to put up the walls and say, you know, the hurt is too much. I don't want to go through that again. And I love this verse. It's Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And Wendy and I are big on memorizing scripture that are pertinent to the seasons that we're in. And when I think about any relationship baggage or having been hurt in the past and not wanting to try it or pursue it any longer, pray, as Wendy has already said, and memorize that verse. And say, Lord, help me not to dwell on those things in the past. Help me not to recall the pain in the past. And lead me to that person. I am amazed at what the Lord has done. And much of our story, most of our story, we do not have time for today, but how he took two women in Baltimore, Maryland, who were as different as night and day, and formed a ministry and a friendship and moved us to a small town in Virginia, all of it is all him. And I sit back amazed. And neither one of us were really looking for a David and Jonathan friendship at the time. We found out later both of our moms were praying for it.
Yeah.
So get your mama praying for it.
Yeah,
there you go.
But we didn't know the plans that the Lord had for us. And beautiful things have sprung out of a God-ordained friendship. And friendship is worth it. It is. So if there's anybody out there who's like, you know, not for me, it's been too painful, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And pray. Mm-hmm. And get to know the one who is the best friend in the whole world, and that's the one who died for you on a cross. And just immerse yourself in him and what he wants for you. And he'll lead you to the relationships, and he'll blow your mind.
I totally agree. Well, Rachel and Wendy, I want to thank you so much for being on this show. I love what you've shared with us, the scripture that backs up everything, that even that you are like night and day. I don't know if you've seen the Broadway show Wicked. Galinda and Elsaba. I have that friendship with a woman, and I tease her all the time. I said, "You're my Galinda," because I am not like that.
Yeah.
Not saying I'm green, but we just giggle over it because it's so true. But I do. I want to thank you so much for being on this show today.
Thank you for having us.
And for those of you listening, I want to thank you also. I want to encourage you just to reach out, just to look for that friendship and see who God is putting in your path so that you can connect with them and join that friendship that God has for you. Until next week, thank you for coming and joining us today. Bye-bye.